Hi, my name is Shannon, and I am an alcoholic. And I'd like to thank the guys that read for me. And my sobriety date is December 3rd, 1988. And I want you guys to know that please bear with me because 10 years ago, I got up here as a 10-minute speaker, and I had no message, and I dove. I couldn't say anything. And so at the time, my sponsor suggested that I write my story down. So that was about 10 years ago. So at the last meeting, she asked me to be 10-minute speaker for this meeting. So I thought, oh, shit, I better do what she told me 10 years ago, write my story down, you know? Shit! So, here goes, okay? So, she's quite patient, everybody. Anyways, so if I look down at my notes or anything, bear with me. Okay, first of all, I want to thank a power greater than myself for allowing me the privilege to stand up here and talk to you guys today. And I want to thank all those who came before me, all those that are here with me now, and all those that will come in the future sharing this life-saving program. Thank you. Okay. Back in 2009, I lost my brother to this disease, and towards the end of April of this year, I lost my mom to cancer, and it was the hardest thing that I have ever experienced in my life. And I want to thank my sponsor who helped me through it right at the time that it was occurring. And I want to thank my sponsor for helping me, standing next to me each day now, because of the family, I'm the only one that will do any of the legal paperwork and shit. And I can go plumb insane trying to deal with other people, truly. And so I'm very grateful to my sponsor for all the help she has given me, and I'm grateful to the condolences from members of this program to me. Okay, back in 86 when I was drinking, I made a major geographics. I moved from up in the mountains down to Visalia, which was about an hour. And for me, that was a major geographic, because I had lived in the mountains all my life. And my closest neighbor was like miles away. And my drinking career was absolutely insane. And the thing that really got me is shit followed me. I thought I could leave. I thought when I got married and moved to Visalia, leave it there. Well, it all followed me. So after about 2 years, I was fired from a job at a vet because of alcohol, and I'd been going to this church off and on in Visalia, and I saw no hope for myself. I saw and felt no help, no hope for myself. And so, especially when I lost that job. And so I'd been going to a church in Visalia, and just in passing, I had heard about a lady who was going to that church. And so I was very desperate at the time. And so I approached her, and her name was Ronnie T, and she was from Goshen, and she was my first sponsor. And she asked me, When I got into the program, she was helping me through the steps, and she asked me about trying to get into some kind of a recovery place. And so I did seek out recovery, and at the time I was kind of concerned because they wanted money and I didn't have much. And so I had asked my mom for a loan, and she gave me $300. And I went into New Visions, and I didn't go in as a overnighter stayer. I went home every day, but I went back every day, and I went for 90 days. And I want to thank the women who served at New Vision at that time in whatever capacity. And I want to thank the guys at Pine Manor, whatever they served as, because with those two houses and a power greater than myself and my sponsor, I built a very strong foundation. And so when I got into recovery, the first time I saw the 12 steps, it was like I was saying hello to a power greater than myself. And so after in my first 5 years of sobriety, I got a divorce, lost contact with my first sponsor, got a job at the Forest Service, got married again, which my husband and I just celebrated 27 years. And I moved up near Placerville. And I was going to meetings off and on, but I have to share this, and I do not suggest it for anybody in this program, but I went for over 15 plus years without a sponsor. And it's only by the grace of God and that strong foundation that was built in Visalia that I made it through there. But the insanity of this disease is so subtle that shit creeps in, you know? And you think everything's going fine and dandy, and shit creeps in, and anyways. So I found myself in a hell of a predicament, and I was emotionally and spiritually bankrupt, and I was up here at this meeting, and I knew from years past of coming to this program about people talking about picking a winner. And so I saw this lady, and I thought, that is a winner. And I was scared shitless. At 20 years of sobriety, and I was scared shitless to ask her to be my sponsor. And thank God she said yes. Thank God. And, you know, she took me through the steps, and I dealt with that situation that I had put myself in, and I found my part in it, which I didn't really want to see. And once I found my part in it, over time, I see it differently now. And so today, one day at a time, I fully participate in my sobriety. I sponsor people. I am a member of the board of directors at the 12-Step Recovery Club. And I suit up, and I show up, and I wake up every morning grateful for the journey My higher power has me on. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. My name is Kathy, and I am an alcoholic. My sobriety date is February 5th, 1987. I say that not so much for you as for me, because I need to remind myself where I'm at today. And I need to do that on a daily basis. I don't know when I became an alcoholic. I don't know when I crossed that line. I had my first drink at 4, my last drink at 38. So somewhere in there, I crossed that line. I didn't start out to be an alcoholic. My father was an alcoholic, and I didn't want to be like him. I didn't want to be that drunk that he was. Well, I wasn't. Mine took me on a longer and deeper journey. And I started out, I was born not too far from here. I was born in Visalia, raised in Goshen. I moved here, moved to Porterville when I was about 12. You know, my drinking career started in my early teens, where, I found the thing about alcohol, because I, you know, that it would allow me to be who and what I thought I needed to be, and allowed me to release all that stuff that was inside of me. I didn't know what it was. I knew that I had to get out. I was kind of a wild child after that. You know, I made friends with all the police officers when they pulled me over. You know, people talk about one or two DUIs. No, I have enough to share. I have about 6 or 7 of them. And plus assaults on police officers and, you know, the usual bit. You know, those are things I did when I was drinking. You know, at one point, I'd used up everything and everybody around Porterville. So I made the big move to Fresno. And, the thing is everywhere I went, I had to take me with me. And that was the problem. I didn't realize it at the time. I made my first trip into Alcoholics Anonymous in 1971. Now, 1971 they didn't have any detox centers. They didn't have any treatment centers. They didn't have all the things that they have today. So I ended up in a mental hospital in Tulare. You know, and they didn't know what to do with me. I was 23 years old, for Christ's sake. You know, I'm not supposed to be an alcoholic at 23. But every time I got there, I was drunk. So they opened up this halfway house. I'm going to say right now, if you ever go to a halfway house, make sure it's not co-ed. You get the picture. Anyway, that was kind of my life. I did maintain to stay dry. I say dry because there's a big difference between being dry and being sober. I maintained to stay dry for about 2 years. You know, I went to AA, and that was the first time I was introduced to AA. And I thought, well, good grief, these people are going to show me how to drink and drink responsibly. Boy, was I surprised. The best thing that came out of that little trip in 1971 was that my dad, he saw that I was staying sober, that I was doing good. And he says, Catherine, do you think that will help me? I said, I don't know. Well, can you help me? I said, no, but I can make a phone call. And 4 men from this program showed up that day, took my dad to his first meeting. He died with a little over 9 years. So that was the thing that came out of this, that first trip to AA. I went back drinking, of course. And, you know, like I say, I moved to Fresno. I was probably about 30, 31 at the time. And I maintained, and I started getting in a lot of trouble up there, too. Like I say, every time I had to move, I took me with me. And I didn't like me. In fact, I hated me. And I drank to make me feel okay about me. You know? And I drank for a lot of reasons. But none of them were valid. In 1981, I had gotten in enough trouble that I was looking at quite a bit of community service and a lot of other things, that I decided to make another geographical. So I went to Seattle. Now, how I ended up in Seattle, I can't tell you. I started my drunk in Fresno, and I ended it in Seattle. So, you know, that was quite a trip. I came to in Seattle, let's put it that way. And I stayed up there for a long time. I was there for almost 40 years up in Washington. It's a beautiful country, beautiful state. But my first summer up there, I almost froze to death. Good God. You know, it was only 66 degrees there. I came out of 105, so I almost froze. I was looking around for a coat, and here these idiots are walking around in shirt sleeves. And, you know, and that's not the way it is in the summer. So, you know, I did stay up there, and I got acclimated to it, and I found a lot of neat places to drink. I found a lot of different friends. But, you know, every time that I drank, I sought out people who I felt were better than, I was better than. You know, I'd pass a guy on the street, you know, and he was homeless. Well, I had this little room, hot and cold running rats, you know. But I was better than that. You know, I saw people out there, you know, just, but, you know, if the thing is that's where my head was at the time. And one of my clearer moments of drinking, I found like this little park in Seattle, and I'm sitting there with my wine bottle, and I'm drinking, and I'm watching the rats play. And they do play. I'm watching them play. And I'm looking around, there's different little campsites, and I'm thinking, this is a life. That's the insanity of my disease. This is the life. You know, I went looking for that park later to move there, and I could never find it again. You know, in the end, what I was doing was I was drinking from the time I came to till the time I passed out. And that was on a daily basis. And I did everything and anything I needed to do to get a drink, because that was priority number one. My alcohol became my best friend, my God, my lover. That was it. That's all I needed. You know, I was, in the end, I was not capable of working. So I did whatever I had to do to get a drink. And I didn't like sharing my bottle. That I had to in order to be able to maintain my level of drinking. You know, alcohol took me on that journey. And you're the people that brought me out of it. So back in 87, I don't know when I went in jail. It was sometime in January I was put in jail. And I was put in the hospital ward because whenever I have detox, I have a few little problems. You know, like go into DTs and I go into all these other things. And, you know, that's what I do. That's part of my process. So they had me in the hospital ward. They were detoxing me slowly. And one of the girls that was in there didn't tell them she had such a problem, and she ended up dying from withdrawal. And she was younger than me. You know, is this the way I want to end up? Is this the way I want to spend the rest of my life? And I thank God today for that time in jail, because it gave me time to sober up enough to make a decision. I used February 5th as my sobriety date, because that's the day I walked out of the jail and made that decision that I was going to do something, that I had to give AA one more try. Now, I didn't come here because I thought you people were great and wonderful and all that joyous and happy and free bullshit. I didn't come here for that. I came here because I knew that if I had a chance to live, you were going to show me how. You know, and I thank my higher power every day for this place called the Big Hall in Seattle. It was a big club, you know, and there were a lot of people there that had a lot of time in the program, and I thought you were bullshitting me. You know, you talked about all these years you had, and I'm looking at you, and I'm thinking you're full of shit, because nobody could have that much time. I mean, nobody. You know, and I put these people up on the pedestals, and come to find out they're human beings. Because a few went back out and didn't make it back. You know, and that's the danger of this disease. You know, I've been sober a few 24 hours. That doesn't mean anything. All I've got is from the time I woke up this morning. And I'm saying wake up because I'm not coming to anymore. I'm waking up. And I woke up this morning a little after 8. So if you got up before 8 o'clock this morning, you got more time today than I do. And that's just for today. You know, I'm since I've been sober, I've been through quite a few things, little things, you know. Like I've been beat up, I've been robbed, I've been raped, I've been homeless. You know, all those things that have happened to me that, you know, it doesn't matter. Because I was able to walk through it and walk through it sober with the help of the people in the program. You know, AA has taught me how to live. I didn't know how to live before. I knew how to exist, but I didn't know how to live. One of the things that, when I left Fresno, I left two sons behind. I didn't know where my journey was going to take me. I didn't know what I was going, you know, what was going to happen to me. I knew that I didn't need to take them with me to go on this journey. And it was a good thing I didn't, because I went up there, I was homeless, I was on the streets, you know, and a lot of other things were happening that they didn't need to be part of. I left them with my mother, they had a home, they had food, and, you know, and they were protected. So, you know, that's part of my story I don't talk a lot about, because I didn't think there for years that I was good enough for my sons to want to be part of me, to be part of their lives. I didn't think that, you know, anybody would want me as part of their life today. Today we're mending a lot of fences in that area. But it took over 32 years for that to happen. And one of the reasons I'm here in this area today is because a little over a year ago, I had a major heart attack. Where I actually died, and they brought me back. But I had to make it, you know, that changed my whole way of looking at things. Changed my whole perspective on things. So I made a phone call. Actually, I got on Facebook. Which, let me tell you something. That Facebook is tricky. Because I don't know how to do it, work it. Somebody had to show me. And that's the way it's been in this program for me. People have had to show me how to do things. I know in the beginning, I couldn't put two words together to make any sense. You know, I had to eat finger foods because I was shaking so hard. They brought me a towel because the alcohol was just pouring out of my system. They brought me a damp towel to wipe my face off. I didn't have a place to live. You got me a place to live. I had those dirty clothes that I was wearing. You got me a couple of pairs of new clothes. And every day I'd wash out one pair, one of them, so I'd have a clean pair for the next day. You know, they made sure I had something to eat every day. Because I didn't have a job. I didn't have any money. I didn't have anything when I got here. All I had was me, and not to tell you, that was not very much. So what I did, what you did for me, I could never repay. There's no matter how long I live or how much I do, could I ever repay Alcoholics Anonymous for what they did for me. And I'm here today because of those people that were in those rooms that greeted me, that welcomed me, and told me to keep coming back. And let me say, tell you this, that was the first time in years anybody told me to come back. Usually they were kicking me out or barring the door or saying, please do not come back here ever again. I got kicked out of some of the scuttiest bars in Seattle, let me tell you. Getting kicked out of some of those places are just, that's something else. And, you know, they tolerated me. But I knew where every place was. If I had a little money, I knew where every place was that opened at 6 a.m. And if it was 6:01, I was pounding on the door. Because I needed that drink. I needed that fix. You know, I can imagine, you know, today it just kind of, I kind of laugh at that because, you know, that's the last 6 o'clock in the morning. If I get up that early, it's because my dog got me up or something. You know, today I don't have to, I can look at the ceiling, it's the same ceiling. I don't turn over and wondering what I ended up with. Let me tell you, I didn't know Sasquatch lived that near on some of them. You know, and that's just the way it was. That was my life as an alcoholic. You know, being sober is being really a lot different. I'm not going to say better, but some days it's not better. Some days it's just different. And you know, and that's okay. Because I take this journey and I know I'm not on this journey alone anymore. I got other people here that are with, that will walk this road with me today. You know, I don't have to be by myself today unless I choose to. And I have choices today. You know, when I went through those steps, you know, the first one was the easiest one. And the second part of the first step, my life is still unmanageable, but, you know, I can take care of that. I don't have to be totally out in the weeds anymore. The second and third steps were the hardest for me. The second and third steps were I had turned my back on a power that I didn't understand, and I still don't, but she understands me pretty well. I figure it's got to be a woman. No man has that sense of humor. And, you know, especially to let me live through what I've lived through. And, you know, the second and third steps I really had to have trouble with, I had trouble with. And then I was reading in the big book the story of Women Suffer Too. And it was about one of the first women that were in, was in the program. And now, I don't know how many of you know this, but of the 100, there's only 3 women that were in the first 100. Anyway, she wrote this story, Women Suffer Too. And she talks about it not being a religious program. She talks about it being a program of, you know, love and understanding and being a spiritual being, not religion. And that I could handle. You know, and that's the way it's been. A lot of times, you are my higher power. You got me through something that, you know, you could stay sober where I couldn't stay sober. And as a group, you did more for me than, you know, than anything else that has been in my life. You know, I've been through a few things, but that's neither here nor there. You know, life today is a lot different. Like I say, I moved back here in March. And the thing about moving back, you know, it's kind of scary because I did a lot of damage here. A lot of damage down in Porterville. I didn't do too much in Springville. A little, not much. Anyway, the thing is, I don't, you know, being away for as long as I was, I haven't run into anybody I knew back then. I've had, probably most of them are gone. And I wouldn't doubt it, the way they drink. Because I saw people who drank like I did, you know, who drank heavy like I did. And I didn't stick around with those normies that had one or two sips. My mother was one that was a normie. She'd order a drink. 2 hours later, she's asking for more ice for that same drink. I can't understand that. Can you? Well, I couldn't understand that. And I'm going, what in the world is she drinking for? You know, she's not even enjoying it. Anyway, you know, that was that's something I can't understand. I said, you know, I had to finish every drink, and when it got about halfway down, I'd get desperate and have to order another one or something. You know, those were the things that you know, that I did that I thought was normal. But that's not normal. I found out later. But I didn't know that then. You know, I've been, I walked that journey for a long time. And today I'm getting reacquainted with my sons. I met grandchildren I never knew what I haven't never met. I've got, 4 grandchildren, 8 great-grandchildren, and I'm getting to learn, I'm learning to meet, you know, just meeting them. And these are things that were given to me since, you know, back to me since I made that contact, Facebook, you know. Anyway, I thank God for Facebook. You know, life has been a journey, and it's a journey that I don't want to go back to where I was. So today I still go to a lot of meetings. I talk to a lot of people. You know, but making this trip back down here is, it's like I'm a new person again. Because nobody knows me. And, you know, nobody, you know, I've met a few people here, you know, but it's like I'm starting all over again. Yeah, I've got time. So what? That doesn't mean anything. I'm still new here. I'm still new to you people. You know, today I reach out my hand to the new person coming in the door. And I don't see much of that going on anymore. When I first came to AA, I remember they'd pass the basket and said, if you need a couple dollars, take it. They don't do that anymore. More was going out than coming in. Like I say, my first trip was in 1971, so a lot of things have changed. I come from an area where every week there's over 500 meetings to choose from. And up here, I'm looking for one, you know. So, you know, it's you know, those are things that are different for me. Now, I look for meetings that I, you know, that it's going to feed me. Because I still need to be fed. And so I can grow. You know, I don't know how many times I've been through that big book. And, you know, I love the big book. That's my Bible. And I don't know how many times I've been through it. But I swear there are gremlins that get in there and change the words. Because things change in there. You know, I'll see something. I said, well, where did that come from? When did they put that in? You know, but it's not the book, it's me, because I'm changing, you know, and I keep changing, and that's what this program is all about, is about change, because if I don't change, and I don't grow in this program, what's going to happen is I'm going to start treading water, and pretty soon I'm going to start drinking, and that's something I do not want to do. You know, I go through here, and you know, I try to reach out my hand to the new person, and I try to talk to them and greet them, you know. And that's what I need to do, still need to do today. Because you were there for me when I got here. You were the ones that led me and dragged me to meetings. You know, you guys got me a room whenever I didn't have a place to stay. And I get this knock on the door at about 6 o'clock in the morning. Kathy? Yeah. Time to go to a meeting. Who goes to a meeting at 6 o'clock in the morning? Actually, the meeting was at 7. They gave me time to get dressed. But, you know, they were there. You guys were there for me. You drug me to meetings. You were there for me every time I needed, you know, when I wanted you. And by God, you were there when I didn't want you to. You know, this is easy. It's real subtle. About a year ago, I was watching, I don't know if you guys like the program or not, Criminal Minds. I think it's one of the few programs that actually make me think. Anyway, I was watching that, and they were talking about margaritas. I could smell that margarita. I could taste that margarita. And everything without the benefit of a margarita. And let me tell you, I didn't like margaritas, but I could taste it. And what it bothered me for a little while, and then I realized that, you know, Kathy, that's your disease. It's reminding you, no matter how much time you have, you're still an alcoholic. And you will get these moments. I still get them today. I get these moments that, yeah, I can have one drink, but no, that one drink is going to lead to 1,000 more. I have another drunk in me. I really do. But I do not have another recovery. Because my drinking took me so far down that, you know, I had a lot of physical problems going on whenever I sobered up. And I had pancreatitis, alcoholic poisoning, and a few other things going on. You know, and so it was, like I say, I have another drunk, but I don't have another recovery. Today I choose to live. By making that choice, I have to do certain things. You know, I go to a lot of meetings. I still go to meetings. I still talk to people who are in the program. You know, and I try to be an active member of Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm not as active here as I was up in Washington. In Washington, I had the privilege of going back to school. And I decided I wanted to be a counselor when I grew up, right? An alcoholic counselor. Well, I got my degree for that. And I had the privilege of working with women who came off the street, who drank like I did. A few of them are still sober today. I built that program from eight women, to where I had 87 women that I was working with. And that's just because I was there for them. You know, and when I left, it went back down to a point that I only had 6 or 7 women still going. And that's a shame. Because some of them really honestly had a chance to make it in this program. One of the other things I did up there is I was part of the treatment committee group where we actually took meetings into treatment centers. And I enjoyed that. You know, that was something that I really liked doing, being part of that. And watching the people when they came out come into the meetings that I was attending. And they come up to me and say, "Oh, Kathy, I remember you were at Dreamer." And I said, "Yeah." So, well, I was too. Well, and I said, "I'm so glad to see you." And I am. I was honestly glad to see them. And today we don't know whose life I'll touch. I don't know, you know, anything that I'm going to be saying today. Because at one point, what I like is that it gets out of my head and goes to my heart. And where I can talk about how I feel today. And how I, you know, I love this program. I love the people in the program. You know, you have given me back my life. You showed me how to live. I don't have to look in windows to see how normal people live today. You know, because I have a normal life. at least a normal life for me. You know, and the people here have been here for me. Like I say, you took me by the hand and you guided me. It's like, you know, I got into a phone booth and couldn't figure out how to open the door. And somebody opened the door for me. And that's the way it's been. Been here every step, every minute of every day. And if I got in trouble, all I had to do was pick up the phone. And that is the hardest thing to do, is say, I need help. And you were there. And that's the way it is. We're here. I'm here to help the next person coming in the door. I'm here for the person that doesn't know how to get out of that phone booth by opening the door for them, because you've opened a lot of doors for me. You know, life is not that bad today. Right now, I'm staying at my son's house. Now, my son is an active alcoholic. He inherited the disease. His father died of alcoholism. But he still has that disease. And, you know, and it's sad. I can't help him. As much as I'd love to, I can't. I can't intercede. It has to be a decision he has to make. And that's the way it's been for me. Everything, yeah, that had to be my decision. You could tell me all the horror stories in the world, but it had to be my decision to turn my life around. It had to be my decision to get sober and stay sober. And that's something that I choose to do on a daily basis. You know, like I was saying about the steps, 2 and 3 were my hardest. I got through those. The rest of them came easy. People say they had a hard time with the 4th and 5th step. No, I didn't do it Bill's way. I did it Dr. Bob's way. Dr. Bob had a much simpler way. I could not have done it Bill's way. It was too complicated. You know, and it was. It was really hard for me. I struggled for the first 4.5 years. I struggled in this program. All I did was suit up and show up. And that's all I did. My first few years in this program, I probably hit 3 and 4 meetings a day. Because that's what I needed to do. That's what I needed to do to stay sober. And I was desperate. You know, it says in the book, desperate as only the dying can be. That was me. And in that, so I stayed in the program and I lived in the program. You people were talking about happy, joyous, and free, and I wanted to throw up. I didn't know what you were talking about. You're talking about love. You're talking about hope. You were talking about caring. I didn't know what any of those words meant. So I had to look them all up. But you taught me. You taught me what those words meant. Not by so much in your words, but by your actions. Let us love you until you can love yourself. I thought you were full of shit. Nobody could love me. I was totally unlovable. Just ask my mother. You know? But that's another story in itself. But, I didn't know what it was. I didn't know what love was. I didn't know what caring was. I didn't know what hope was. Because I didn't have any of that. But you have taught me. And this is something that I had to learn, you know, coming into this program. So there was a lot of things I had to relearn. I had to relearn how to brush my teeth. That's back when I did still have teeth. I had to learn how to brush my hair, take a shower on a daily basis. You know, these are things I had to relearn to do. Because when you're on the street, you don't get all that privileges. Now, today I can shut my door. I had a light, electricity, woo. You know, a mailing address. Now, that's a big step up. That is a huge step up. So those are things that, you know, that I used to take for granted, that I've learned not to take for granted anymore. Those are privileges today. Those are bonuses and pluses in this program. You know, I don't know how far this journey is going to take me. I don't know what, you know. I know that today, if I stay sober, I have a good chance of staying sober tomorrow. I know that if I go to a meeting, there's my insurance policy. You know, that little insurance policy that you take out that, you know, yeah, I can do this. You know, I try to do things that are right for me today. You know, I'm not always, like some of my decisions, you know, I'm an alcoholic, so they're not always good. But I learned that I can live with them. I don't have to beat myself up over them. I don't have to beat myself up anymore over everything that I did yesterday. Because yesterday's a canceled check, tomorrow's a promissory note, and all I have is right now, today. You know? And I remember in the beginning, they were telling me, says, Kathy, take the cotton out of your ears and put it in your mouth because you don't have anything to say yet. I had plenty to say, but it didn't make any sense. You know, and I wanted to tell you everything I had to say, and you didn't want to hear it. You know, you called me on my bullshit. I remember when I was about 2.5 years sober, I was just basically coming to. I was starting to come to about 2.5 years. And my sponsor saw what I was doing. I, you know, good God, there's a lot of men in the program, right? Okay. So he decided that that's not what I needed. And sentenced me to a year of nothing but women's meetings. I was not a happy camper. You know, women I cannot play my games with. Men, you're easy. But it's women I can't play the games with. Because you know the game, girls. You've played it yourself, you know it. So I can't play those games with you. But thank God that he had that wisdom to do that. Because I learned, you taught me how to be a woman. You taught me that I am worth something, that I am an individual, and that I do count. You know, those are the things that I learned, you know, and that I didn't know. I did not know that I was okay, that I was worth something, that I had value. And you taught me that. And each step of the way in this program, people have taught me things. And I said he, when I said my sponsor was a man, he was. But he liked men just like I did. So it was okay. You know, today I have a sponsor up in Tacoma. She's got a little over 40 years. And she knows that when I call her, I'm in trouble. Because I never call her otherwise. But she's, you know, she's helped me through a lot of things, you know, and it was, she's been there for me. And, you know, and Anne is a great person. If she ever makes it to Porterville, you'll meet Kermit first. That's a devil bird she has. He's a bigot. Does not like white people. I don't know about that bird. But anyway, you know, that's the way that bird is. He's something else, isn't he? But he knows me and knows my voice, and he still doesn't like me. You know, and life is a lot different today. You know, like I say, I love this program, love the people in the program, and the nicest thing about it, most of you I really like. You know, I don't have to like you. I have to love you. And that is the key right there. Because there's a few people in Tacoma I know I do not like. But I have to love them. Because you're God's creation. You know, and my higher power today is very personal to me. He's been there for me and has walked with me through a lot of things. And whenever I allow my higher power to take over, you know, I still like to have that control. You know, alcoholics, if they don't have control, they just kind of lose it a little bit, you know. But my higher power has been very, very good to me and very fortunate for me. And, you know, like I say, she's been there. And I envisioned her with this white, this woman sitting up on this big old chair with a big flowing white hair and the most mischievous eyes you'll ever want to see. Somebody told me once, says, Kathy, if you ever want to hear God laugh, tell her your plans. Well, I've heard God laugh many a time. Because when I tell my plans, they don't work out. You know, my plan was not to end up in Alcoholics Anonymous. My plan was not to come back to these meetings. My plan didn't work, you know, was to stay drunk and have a party, have a good time. Well, it stopped being a good time years ago. Who am I kidding? In the last few years that I drank, it was all out of desperation. You know, I started out drinking in nice places, ended up drinking on the streets. You know, started out with nice, good liquor, ended up with White Port, Thunderbird, whatever I could get my hands on. You know, those are the things that were it. My alcoholism took me. You know, and I look at the new people and the young people coming in today, and I'm just hoping, God, grab hold of this program. Make it work. You don't have to go through what many of us have gone through to get back here, if you're lucky enough to get back. That's the big thing. Are you going to be lucky enough to get back? A dear friend of mine, not too long ago, had 36 years, decided he wanted a drink. He still hasn't sobered up. And he's an older man. Not in the best of health. You know? And that's sad. And I don't want to be that. I don't want to be a statistic anymore. I want to be a person today. You know, I'm here today to tell you it does work. If it works for me, it can work for anyone and everyone. All I had to do was do what you told me to do. I had to follow those directions. As much as I hated to, I had to follow them. I had to go through them. You know, my favorite steps are the 6th, 7th, and 10th. You know, my shortcomings, defects of character. You know, when I did that list, the defects of character, I could think of a lot of defects. I couldn't think of very many assets. That was on my 4th step, right? But I had all these things I knew were wrong with me. But then I was told I had to counter them with a positive. And that was the hardest thing for me to do. The only thing I could think of that was on the positive side is, oh, people, dogs, and children love me. It was the rest of the world I had problems with. And, you know, but that's not the case today. You know, I go through here, and I'm here today to let you know it does work. I'm alive today because this program is working for me. It's not so much that I work the program today as it works me. My program is basically based in the 10th, 11th, and 12th step. I'm into the living steps more into than the dead steps today. Because I, you know, those are the things that I practice. Yeah, I take a daily inventory every night. Yeah, I review my day. And if I do it right, it usually takes me right back to the 6th and 7th step. You know, and it's the defects and then the other one, shortcomings. Shortcomings are, I had to look that one up because I wasn't sure what shortcomings were. And it was parts that were broken was one of the definitions. And that's what this program's been doing for me, is putting back the pieces of the parts that were broken in me. And it's still putting them back. You know, so those parts that are broken is starting to make me a whole person again. Because they're being replaced. They're being, you know, fixed and mended. so that I can go ahead and go on with my life. You know, the eighth and ninth step, and I'm still working on that. But the nice thing about it, the only step I have to do and have to do 100% perfectly is step one. Because the rest of them I can work on the rest of my life. And that's the neat thing about this program. And that's probably the only step I do take perfectly. You know, because I am an alcoholic. My life is still unmanageable. But it's unmanageable by me, not by anybody else today. But today I can live with that. I can go forward. I can tell you that, you know, that I'm okay today because you're here. And I can reach out my hand, there'll be somebody to take it. You were there for me in the beginning, you'll be there for me from now on. You know, I love this people, you peoples. And, you know, and the thing is that that love is returned. And that's something that is brand new for me, is to have that returned. You know, I have a sister, I think. At least she claims to be my sister. I don't claim her. I haven't spoken to her in 25 years. If it's another 25, it'll be too soon. I don't know if you have people like that in your life or not, but I do. You know, she's a late stage alcoholic. That she didn't really start drinking until she was in her 40s. But she is an alcoholic, and that's this family disease that we have. You know, and I don't want to go there again. I don't want to revisit that again. And by coming here and coming to these meetings and going to these meetings and sharing with you and telling you who I am. You know, today, when you called me an alcoholic, you raised my standard of living way up here somewhere. Because that's the nicest thing I've been called in years. I've been called a lot of things. Today I'm not one of them. You know, I am an alcoholic. I will be an alcoholic until the day I die. And it's through you people and through the program of Alcoholics Anonymous and through a power that I do not understand but understands me quite well that I will stay sober today and possibly tomorrow. So I thank you for your attention. Bye-bye.
Hey, good morning, everyone. My name is Charlie, and I